Good evening. My name is Charlene Maddox. And I'd like to thank my God, the committee, NA, and everyone in this room. Life on life's terms. You know, prior to coming to the rooms of NA, my life wasn't good at all. Because I used for approximately 18 years. The first 10 years, they were good years, you know. Money was plentiful. The drugs was plentiful. My veins was plentiful. I was having an absolutely good time. But what happened, things began to go downhill for me. I had to begin to do more things to get the money, do bigger things. I began to steal, rob. I did quite a bit. It doesn't matter about your background, your race, your religion. None of that matters. I went to college. I graduated. I was working on my master's degree when I came into these rooms. I was locked up for possession of cocaine and heroin with intent to distribute, and the judge gave me 5 years, and he suspended 4 years and 8 months. I used to look down on people, but then I began to do the same things that those people were doing. I got pregnant, and I still used. And I thought maybe that was my way out, but it wasn't. You know, living life on life's terms. You know, for many years, I had to do those things that I needed to do to survive, because I was an addict. Every day I woke up, I had to use. I used, and I was on the methadone program for 8 straight years. Only for the grace of God, when my daughter was born, she didn't have a habit. It was nothing I did. It was all God's work. I recall laying down on the floor, and this young lady injected solution into my neck, and I paralyzed my vocal cords, and I couldn't talk for about maybe 6 or 7 months. And that was a lonely, lonely time in my life. Insanity. You would think that would be enough to keep a person like me, a college grad, working on a master's, to stop, but it didn't. I still continue to use. I used until I wanted to surrender. And my sister began to come to meetings before I did, and I just asked her to help me out, and can I just please come to one meeting? And my life was centered around drugs. I didn't know how to get out. And everything I did during that time was as a result of me using. You know, and I wasn't a real bad person, but I did bad things. And when I came around, which was almost 21 years ago, you all told me to have a seat. They just wanted to know how they can help me. And nowhere in my life did I get the love that you all gave me. And when I first came around, I didn't know how life would be for me without using. But I knew I was hurting so bad, and my life was so, so unmanageable. So I kept going to meetings, and I kept doing the things that you all told me to do. And I listened for once in my life. You know, they say you can be a little too smart for this program, but never too dumb. So if you're new here, just keep coming back. If your life is not going too well, just keep coming back. For me, my sponsor told me, he says, Charlene, you know, everybody has to work on what they need to work on. Everyone don't come in having to work on the same things. So what she did, she began to work with me on the step work, and that has been the foundation of my recovery. And as a result of working the steps into my life began to get better. Thank you. And the steps are in order. You don't jump them, you take them in order. And take them under the guidance of your sponsor. And as a result of taking these steps, it has changed my life, it has changed my thinking, and it has changed the way I act most of the time, not all the time. You know, I still today kind of struggle with certain things. You know, I don't claim to be perfect, but I have truly gotten a lot better. You know, I was thinking about the people who are not here today. Now, I've been around a little while, so I have lost some dear friends in recovery. And that's one of the reasons why I never want to go out, because I do not want to lose the friendships. You know, I had to deal with a lot of feelings as a result of death in these rooms. I had one girlfriend in particular, I could tell her anything and everything and would not get judged at all. And she's gone. And every time I come here, I think about her, because she used to have me to be active in a lot of the convention activities. And how I dealt with death here is a little different how I would have dealt with death prior to coming to these rooms. Because I can talk about how I feel, and you all can tell me how you dealt with it. And you all made me understand how life really is. Sometimes you got to really understand that people are in your life, you know, just for a season. And then they've gone on. But the memories can be with you forever. Now, I can remember some of the things that some of my friends that's gone said to me. And I can reflect back and get some power on that when I'm in need. You know, the spirit is very strong. Because there may come a time when you need to reflect on that. You know, I had a family member, I had a, family members who had passed. But I understand now that passing is not as bad as I thought it was once before. They've gone on to a better place. Now, on life, on life's terms, it's actually is what you make it. See, oftentimes, I want to take the coward way out and not fess up and not be courageous enough to say, you know, the wrong that I have done, my part in it. And oftentimes my life is based on the decisions I made. And also based on the decisions I made based on the last decision I made. And I look and say, okay, well, I feel the same way because I made the same decision. You know, living life on life's terms. Sometimes I don't know how long it will take me to get over, to get through. But I can't continue to justify and say, well, I'm an addict, so I can continue to display bad behavior. Because that's not the answer. See, a lot of times we say that because we really don't want to change. We're comfortable with how we're living. And sometimes if we just step out the box and be a little courageous, you know, making that decision is not as bad as you thought it would be. Now, I came around, and the program offered me so much. I was doing really fine. You know, I had no problems because I was working, and my money wasn't going to drugs. And what happened was I got into a relationship, I think my third year, and that relationship went sour, and I had supposed to get married. It was at that point that my sponsor told me, come on, it's time to do the fourth step. You know, for me, my life has changed as a result of working the steps. One of my character defects is procrastination, because I could endure so much pain, and I had to wait till my back get against the wall, and I had to cry out to God for help. And that's when he sent me the program. See, this is my life, the program. And you can make it what you want to make it. And I know that to be true. If you want to be in this program and be miserable, hey, that's what you want. That's what you get. If you want to be in this program and hold on to resentments and hatred towards people, then that's what you'll get. And what you're going to get is internal hatred and pain. Because you can't inflict pain on somebody else like that. Then you may end up ill and sick because you've harbored so much internally. Living life on life terms. You know, I have one daughter, and I love her dearly. And I put a lot of time into motherhood because that's what you all told me to do. You know, you're a mother today. So I did the things that a mother supposed to do. Went to PTA meetings, made sure she got her proper rest, made sure she did her homework, did all the things that you all told me to do. Sent her to college. She was in college for, 3 years. And then she got pregnant. Life on life's terms. And I have to be honest with you all. I talked to her, and I told her to ask, I said, do you really want this baby? I asked her, maybe you want to consider an abortion. And she told me, Mommy, I'm going to have this baby. And she did. And I thank Almighty God for my daughter, for her making a decision for her life. See, a lot of times in life, you don't know what's going to happen or why it's going to happen for you. And I'm here to tell you that my granddaughter has been a blessing to me in my life. And I have asked God in her for forgiveness for even to suggest something like that to her. But I can't be hypocritical and come up here and tell you I didn't do it. I can tell you I did it and how I felt then and how I feel today. And I can share with you, too, that oftentimes when you think things is a bad situation, it can turn out to be a good situation, a good thing. And my granddaughter, some nights, everybody going out having a good time. You know, all my sponsees, they with the boyfriends and the husband, and I'm there with my granddaughter, holding my granddaughter. I said, thank you, Jesus. It's so good. The program is so good. The program has afforded me the opportunity to dream and to live my dreams. You know, it may come a time in your recovery that you may have a dream, but you can't let nobody separate and come between you and your dream. You know, your friend may tell you your dream is too big, it's not attainable, but it's your dream. Don't let nobody come between your dream. You got to keep at your dream, because when your dreams die, you die. You know, I always want to have something to live for. You know, life on life's terms. It's not about me. It's about helping others. That's what you all told me. And because when I help others, I help who? Myself. Every time. My life with on my job is good, even though my supervisor is not doing what I think he should do. You know, he told me he's going to give me more money. I ain't got more money. All I got was more work. And I said, this man don't know me, for real. He run the game. He don't know I'm an addict. Now, I've been down some mean streets and down some alleys, okay? I may not look like one, but I am one. And sometimes I got to pray for those folks, too. Because for real, I want to step up to him and let him know, hey, look, don't try it. But you all told me last week, Shawnee, be patient and pray. Because see, a lot of times you can get ahead of yourself. If you just be patient and pray, things may happen for you. You know, life on life's terms. Sometimes it's not easy. Because by nature, I'm a very impatient person. And I'm so impatient, I like, because I move fast all my life. You know, the traffic moves a little too slow for me. The line in the store moves a little too slow for me. I'm sitting in the doctor's office, they're taking their time calling on me. But God is teaching me to sit still. And during those times I want time to move fast, I can reflect on something I want to do with my life, say a prayer, or think about somebody else. God is so good. Whew, life on life's terms. Now, sometimes I don't want to see for what it is, and it is just what it is. And your life is just what your life is. If you don't like what your life is, then you got to do something about it. And I learned this through the program. If you keep coming around long enough, you're going to hear a story. You're going to hear a dream. You're going to hear people talk about coming into these rooms, going back to school, getting their GED, not at 25, but at 45 and 55. Huh. Isn't that something? They're having their own companies. You know, it's your dream. It's your life. If you're satisfied with it, then fine. But don't, you know, hate others who have a dream in this program and talk about, they're getting this and they're getting that, they're getting the house, they're getting material things. See, oftentimes, it's really about you not having the courage to do what they do. So what you do is talk about them. Instead of going up to them and being a man and woman, say, how did you do it? And they tell you, oh, yeah, I had to rearrange my life. I had some priorities in my life. You know, some things I was doing, May 1st, I had to make them 4th and 5th in my life. Instead of going to the parties and the dances, I had to stay home and go and study. You know, on life on life's terms, you know, I look at myself in the mirror. I don't see my sponsor. I see me. I see a good person. I see someone who has tried to be a better person. You know, I'm not talking about being a better person. I'm talking about being a better person. Because, you know, we can come into these rooms, sponsor a lot of people, do a lot of sharing, doing a lot of service work, but ain't living right. Okay? Ain't living right at all. And see, life on life's terms will catch up with you. It will. You know, one day you're going to realize that you ain't feeling too good. And it could be because you ain't doing too good. I mean, your actions. Because basically, most addicts are good talkers anyway. We can talk, okay? But what are you doing? You know, we have the steps to make our life better. There's nothing that you're dealing with in your life that you can't get it right with the steps. Now, when summer's come around, and you know, we got to get back with our families. You know, we have to make amends. You know, because I would often ask my spouse, well, why do we have to make amends to people? Well, you know, the previous steps, you got stuff right with yourself. You find out who you are and what your problems are, and you're getting it better through 6 and 7. Now it's time to get it right with other folks. You know, because God wants us to be able to look at somebody in their face, in their eyes, and feel good about who they are. And the only way you can get that feeling is if you make amends. I told her, okay. So if you have questions, you know, don't not ask questions. And when it's all said and done, Almighty God is not going to ask you how much, what your salary was, how many people you sponsored, what was your title, how many jobs you had. Almighty God, what deeds did you do? What did you do when I put you so-and-so place? Did you turn your back and didn't say something? Did you help the newcomer? With that, I'm going to keep coming back. Thank you all.
I'm an addict named Vincent. Hey, Vincent. It's only truly by God's grace, His mercy, and you people. On this day, I can say I'm reasonably content. It wasn't always that way. I had no type of appropriate attitude to deal with life on any term other than mine when I first showed up. But let me just relieve myself. I am so happy that I ain't take a hit today. Oh, man, I'm telling you, when I got here, man, there were so many wonderful people in here, and it wasn't for the predecessors, but yet, somewhere along the line, they appeared to get a good idea and decided to use again. So I'm just saying that I don't ever want to ever underestimate my illness, because I got this thing called a thinking issue. And sometimes issues are like tissues. They just keep popping up. So, you know, I want to stay in position so that I don't make my own life. It's not a real word, but it's called worser. See, because when I use, stuff get worser. Not worse. Worser. I mean, real worser. Worser, worser, worser. So I'm just so grateful. My clean date is August the 10th, 1989. And since I've been here, I have not found it necessary to use thought about it. But you all said, brother, you don't have to use even if you think you want to. So I am just so grateful for you all, man. So I just give you all thank you. Life on life's terms is a wonderful experience. I need to say that I just had a real bad experience prior to coming in here today. Me and a couple of my friends were at a restaurant, so we went in to eat. So we knew we didn't have much time, and so we ordered some soup, some appetizers is the word, and I said, give me some bread, and it was like tripping. We don't sell bread. I said, okay, bring me the soup. You know, that kind of thing. Then later on, management came to be strong, talking about, look, you guys, everybody got to get an entree up in here. I said, excuse me? He said, everybody got to get an entree up in here. So all of a sudden, my disease showed up. Now how you going to act? You know what I'm saying? No, wait a minute. Hold on. I mean, like, you know, a little respect here. Now, first thing, my fast-moving mind says, now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me if I don't buy a certain amount, I can't squat here? I said, oh, here comes the game. You know what I'm saying? So I simply said real calmly, man, that doesn't even make any sense. You know, and I'm saying to myself, why do you want to create a problem like this with us? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Then I thought about this workshop. These are some of the terms we got to deal with. So I said, come on, guys, let's roll. So we got in our car, drove out of the parking lot into the next parking lot, went in and got some soup and a sandwich. You understand what I'm saying? But yet, life showed up. So it's all about what position are you invincing, because in front of you, you got to remember this. And listen to me, especially if you're new. If you don't get anything out what we're saying today, if you just don't use. Listen to me. If you just don't put that mess in you, I guarantee you your life will get better. But please don't add no time period to it. Because just when you're doing better than swell, life gonna show up. So I recognize that it's very, very important for me to always recognize that just for today, if I just don't use, if I can just find a way not to offend me, because I'm the one that's totally responsible for what happens to me in most cases. So I'm glad I had a sponsor who took my blame thrower off the top. He said, you got to go on this journey real, raw. So, you know, be careful what you ask for, because you may get a double of it. You know what I'm saying? So, like the sixth step says, why ask for something you ain't ready for? But I guess to try to, because I have a lot of learning disabilities. Later talking about the GED, and through God's grace and mercy, I've been able to get one. But today, just because of not using, and I just thought about a couple of weeks, I have 13 letters behind my last name now. And see, it's the same guy that had all those learning disabilities. He can't pay attention. He can't sit still. I mean, he got ADD, EAG, HI. So I was just too smart. If I had all that, why be here? You know what I'm saying? But I'm just so glad today that through this process of recovery, I discovered it's not but one learning disability. And that is, if ain't nobody can tell you something, if you're one of them kind of people like me, nobody can tell you nothing, you fucked. I don't curse, but I'm telling you, if you all did to me what I did to me, you understand what I'm saying? I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. I'm talking about a family of disease that was so deep. And I was raised to be a soldier. I stayed focused. I was reliable. Never snitched. Always carried it out. Did things to the letter. But yet, when I started surrendering to my disease, I'm talking about that illness that I had that made me do things and go places, family. I don't even want to repeat here. I can show you. I remember when I could no longer wait till I got back to my favorite windowsill. Right? And I tell myself, well, let me just take a little one to get the cheat off me. You know, just a little one. And I say, okay, matter of fact, Vince, don't even take a front puff. Take a side puff. Yeah, just a little one. So I want the newcomer to know it wasn't all. See, when I showed up here, I was homeless. I had a bicycle for my motor transportation. And since the front wheel didn't, was flat, I had some biker gear on. So I wanted you all to think I was a courier or something. You know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't ride it because the front wheel didn't have no air in it and shit like that. But the point was that, like, I just recall that this program has just been so awesome for me. And that as long as I kept that learning disability in check, I had a shot. And so, family, I just guys want you all to know that dealing life on life's terms is such an application. But here's what I want you to know. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. I don't care what, let me say this again. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Now, just for this segment, you can't not use no matter what. The main thing right now is not taking a hit. Now, what's so deep about this program that the main thing may shift at any time. So I got to remind me what the main thing is. But see, since I didn't know how to stop using, I needed to find out. So I say, who know how to do that? And like you guys showed up and say, we, Narcotics Anonymous, know how not to use. Now, Vincent, you don't. So shut up. No, listen to me, fam. This is important. See, it's important for me to say, okay, be with me. Say, look, okay, how do you not use, okay, this is what we did. Are you sure? We got almost 52 years of proven experience of how not to use. You with me? So now I know that, see, relapse is not part of my recovery. I don't know nothing about relapse. Why? Because you all told me, and I believe you, and guess what? You did not tell a lie. So I recognize I can come in here, because I never not had a sponsor. I never not have a service position. I'm real busy today. I do have a life. I got a couple businesses. I live here. I got some stuff going on abroad. I had to raise 4 kids, so I can only make about 7 meetings a week. I came in here and did not try to figure out, with all this brain that got me here by itself, I'm not going to try to figure out how I can take this program and adapt to my super life. No, you said, Vincent, the best way is to take your life and adapt it to the program. So I recognize that I have boundaries and limitations, and if you use the steps, if you use the steps, I guarantee you, just for the day, don't worry about tomorrow. Deal with life on life's terms, not how you think it should. So Vincent is all about recognizing this thing called position. See, if I want something, I got to keep the main thing the main thing. What am I here for? So when you show up and throw me a curb, well, it's not you that's important. What's important is why I'm here. Vincent, here's another term for you. I came in here and somebody in this fellowship showed me how to take $10,000 and turn it into $450,000. They said, here's the terms. See, when I wanted to buy a house and I was a combat veteran and I went to ask for my certificate of eligibility and the guy pulled up my record, he came back and started laughing and shit. I'm like, I'm barely in recovery yet. I said, excuse me? He said, man, he pulled out about 3-4 pages of derogatories. So I caught a feeling. I said, what's your problem? He said, man, you need to come back in 3 or 4 years, man. You can't get no house. I said, man, I come for a certificate of eligibility, not an evaluation of what do you think I can stop shopping cop. I said, let me speak to your supervisor. He said, man, that ain't necessary. I said, I didn't ask you. You go again thinking on your own. I said, no, I'm trying to deal with life, see, because you all told me that this is the way you go. I've been instructed. It ain't failed yet. I'm not going to get no new idea. No one said when you get there, get a new idea. I say, well, like, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, where's your supervisor? Supervisor shows up, and I quite simply say, sir, look, I came in here. I wanted my certificate of eligibility. He come back talking about, ain't me getting it. I can't do nothing for 2 or 3, 4 years. He done showed me all that stuff there. I said, I feel insulted and offended. I said, he owes me an apology. The guy said, wait a minute, hold it. What's the problem here? I said, it's not a problem yet. I said, but we have a condition that must be addressed immediately. See, what I'm trying to say is that if I can just be patient a little while, I know in my soul of souls that I'm all right because I'm following directions. You understand what I'm saying? Because, see, I know that what it is I'm in, I got to keep the main thing, and I want to get my certificate of eligibility because I forgot I used to do boat and dope and some other stuff. And so I forgot that I was a combat veteran. They told me that if I go down here to the, I can get some, you know, I qualify for something. I said, okay. So I'm there. So the guy said, well, I said, well, here's the situation. I said, I simply would like to get a copy of my eligibility certificate for a home loan. I said, now, is any part of that is confusing to you at this point? Because I need not go further than the main thing. I said, however, this guy seemed to thought I wanted to go ask him to run a credit report or something on me. Now, am I entitled to a certificate of eligibility based on those numbers I gave him during that period of 1964 to 1967. He said, man, why didn't you get this guy? He said, well, I said, do or do I not qualify for it? He said, well, yes, sir. I said, well, thank you. I said, but in order to get this, had I needed to be insulted because there may be some people behind me coming. And I want to share my experience. You see, so do I need to prepare somebody for being humiliated as a result of something that this gentleman had no part in? I said, I'd like to have an apology before we go any further, because I do believe that he is a servant of the people, paid for by the funds and lives that was given to even have a Veterans Administration. See, when I'm right, I see I got the main thing, but that disease say, help this person, even though he may not have a program. Listen, life on life terms, I have a responsibility to participate in all forms of society. Now, I'm still in my lane, and I know it. And maybe my only purpose was to do this. And when the guy gave it to me, I said, may I also have that list of derogatories? I said, because, sir, it's not that this is a bad thing, but you went about it a bad way. And so that list of derogatories became my map. Now, here's a question, sir. When I address all of these, I can come back here and apply for the home loan. You see, I said, well, then what is your name? Because I want to come back and see you. I got my stuff, and after 4.5 years, I got my home. And the good news is the guy was still there working. And he remembered this addict. But see, life on life terms has a lot to do with the position I'm in. And so I recognize that I cannot go around here thinking I'm working on something, and when then something shows me up that I don't have in order yet, I need to raise my acceptance and lower my expectations. It is so important to me that I learned to practice some type of humility, because I know just for me that if I just don't use. See, one of the things I've learned, I don't set goals, or no, that's not the word goals. I don't set resolutions anymore going into the new year, because, you know, usually the time I'm making decisions about something I got a feeling about that kind of disrupts my perception. Well, that's a whole nother issue, because I used to smoke boed. But here's one of the gifts that I got out of 2004. I say, what was your greatest lesson? Because I discovered through you all that if I don't get the lesson, God will give me another class. See, they say the mule kicks you twice, Vincent. It's not the mule's fault. So the thing that I got out of 2004, Vincent, never make a permanent decision on a temporary feeling. When I reflected on that piece, so often, I mean, something as simple as a relationship, I ain't gonna never talk to you again. Well, you did what? Week or so later, hey, baby. Or, I get that again disease. You know, I don't need this job. I'm quitting. I don't need nothing. That's what I think about your position. I'm out of here. I'm on the payment. Man, should I pay that thing to my car? Did I just give away my home? I'm saying that, like, whenever stuff got worse, it's because I made a decision on a temporary feeling, because feelings don't last. They constant change. It's like a newcomer coming into the program talking about, this thing don't work. I feel like it ain't for me. I don't know if y'all guys know what I'm talking about. But yet my disease family is so deep. and it had me rationalize and justify the most outrageous position to take, all because I have a misguided ego with an inferiority complex that never had the discipline to even think about being successful, because I always felt better when I beat you and you didn't even know it until I was gone. But only until I got to where I was going, I found out the biggest part that was available for me, I left on the table. Man, I am so grateful I didn't take a hit today. With all the gifts, listen to me, family, with all the gifts and blessings and the way that the other non-tangible things, you know, the respect, the dignity, the sense of self-worth, nobody has to tell me what I is or what I isn't, because I recognize that what God gave me, he is my greatest asset. The thing that was given to me when I came into the fellowship and I surrendered. When I hit that floor, family, and I called on God for real, I said, God. I'm talking about them deep down hollers for God. I'm talking about things when your face gets twisted, when you don't care if somebody's looking at you, when you don't care whether you got a place to go back to, you don't care whether or not you got a plan for next week. I'm talking about God. Help me. Listen to me, family, please. A sense of peace came over to me when I admitted I was an addict. And I had a major problem that began and ended with me.
That's a good message.
When I experienced that nirvana, the absence of wanting anything else other than some peace, that inspired me in such a way, family, that I know if I had anything to give any being in the universe, I wanted to be peace. And I started to reflect on how that played a part in my life. And I remember as a child and things were going crazy and daddy wasn't home, but when he showed up, daddy's home, or mommy's home, mommy's home. It's not so much that we were home, but now we felt more secure. And whatever it was going to be addressed, everybody got a little peace. And when my kids would want things, the daughter would want the doll, and the son would want the bike, and it's not that they really wanted those things. They wanted what they thought those things would give them, because they always wanted something else later. But it gave them that peace. But you all told me that peace can only be given in a bowl of love and served on an application of service. And that's why to this day, everywhere I go, anything that God believes that is right for me, I's get. I applied for grants and scholarships beyond the deadline and got the money. I got houses for less than $1,000 based on information. I got this addiction certificate called the AAC. This is the lowest thing you can get on a clinical ladder. I goes and apply for a job. God says, all right, yeah, well, we like your attitude, your spirit, you know, $7.50 an hour. I said, $7.50 an hour? I said, on my resume, I got children. I need a new tire for my bike. I said, I got all these people telling me I'm all right, you know. He said, well, if you go to corporate, I said, who do I have to see? I go to corporate, and he says, well, okay, we give you $8.50. I said, damn, these people use that or what? But here's the hit through prayer. I take the same AAC and get an agreement with the Department of Corrections to do some counseling for offenders in transition. and I've been charged them $35 an hour, and I got 10 around the table, I'm now getting $350 with the same AAC. I'm talking about having a letter with the Department of Motor Vehicle Administration, and somebody has gets a DWII, and they got to take them classes that I charge $40 an hour. You got to do 12 hours, and I got, that's $80 a session, and I got 10 of them around the table. That's like $800 or $200. I'm saying, don't tell me what God can do for you. Don't be complaining, Vincent, about what you got, how hard it is right here. The only reason why you don't have what you want, you never learn how to ask for it. My son come home, he says, Dad, you got $60? I said, yeah. He said, can I get it? I said, no. He said, come on, man, we're playing. I'm talking TV, yo. He said, Dad, come on. I said, he said, why? I said, Nas, you don't know how to ask for it, man. He said, okay. Dad, please loan me $60. No. I see his frustration, you know. Do I get all handsy and stuff like that? I'm saying to myself, yeah, go ahead and get stupid, you know. He's bigger than me, you know, I don't care. He says, why? I said, first thing you gotta do is lower your tone. Matter of fact, if I was you, I would not only lower it, I'd get a new tune. Change it. He said, well, what I gotta do, I just asked him, I said, please, I'm gonna pay you back. I said, oh, I didn't know you were working. He said, all right, what I gotta do? I said, okay, this is the last time I'm gonna tell you because you're starting to irritate me. But I'm gonna tell you because I'm a parent and I gotta keep on loving you. I said, sit down. I said, Nazim, if you had came home and said, Dad, I was in the backyard and I seen that the shed needed to be cleaned and painted and that hinge on the fence needed a new screw and I would do the edging around the yard, plus I'll kick your car into it for about $60. I said, now you got a conversation. I'm saying, if you don't have what you want, you don't know how to ask for it yet. The question that I struggle with is how to not ask for things I don't need. Because as the lady and sister said, we talk so much, and unfortunately, we say things that we haven't even bought into ourselves. We test things too much. And so I recognize that single purpose of thought breeds success. So I need to how to put things in line. So I want to know what the terms of life is in order for me to get what I'm going after. Right. I embrace it, family. There's no more boogeymen. There's nothing to be afraid of but me. But you got to be open for feedback. It's like the guy who was getting ready for work. So he's pressing his clothes and everything. And like, he's looking at the videos and he put it down, the phone rang. And he reached over to grab the phone and pick up the iron and say, hello? He goes back to work the next day with these two big ass patches on his face. And he go on the floor and his best boy say, damn, shorty, what happened? Oh man, you know, trying to get ready for work, pressing my uniform and I was into the videos and everything. And the phone rang, I put it down and answered it. Burned the shit out of him. He said, man, you are the stupidest guy I've seen. He said, what happened to the other side? He said, well, the guy called back. All I'm saying in closing, family, listen to me. If you're going after something and you're not having success, you need to go ask somebody. You need to humble yourself, stay focused, and most importantly, listen to me. If you just don't use, your life will get better. My name is Ben. I'm happy to be here.